Hello there, you're listening to the Watson's Daily Podcast with me, Peter Watson, on Tuesday, the 5th of July. Today, I am joined by Alina Kazmi, who is a Watson's Daily Ambassador. Hi there, Alina. How are you today?
I'm good, Peter. How about you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Very well, thank you. I'm really sorry again. I've got to sort of do this in a very short space of time today, but there'll be more Alina tomorrow. so don't worry to the listeners out there. Okay. So anyway, right. So what story did you find most compelling from today's Watson's Daily?
I think the story that stood out to me the most was about what Gen Z. So do you call it Gen Z or Gen Z?
Well, I'm going to say let's campaign for it to be Generation Z, because we are in the UK after all. We're not American. So I'm thinking let's go with Generation Z.
Yeah, I totally agree, because I sort of say Gen Z, but I always hear people saying Gen Z.
Yeah. Yeah, let's start it. Let's start this ball rolling, right? Generation Z, because we live in the UK. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
Yeah, so my story that stood out to me was Generation Z living with parents as cost of living is rising. And it's interesting to me because I think it does make financial sense to me. So I'm also part of the Generation Z, but yeah, so just for everyone to like understand, it's sort of like adults between 18 and 24, and I think we have been sheltered from sort of feeling the impacts of the cost of living crisis. And even though we might have dented like the bank of mom and dad a little, but I think that it makes more sense to sort of live together so that the total income for the household is more than if you were living separately. And I think you could like divide the cost depending on your age and how much you earn, even though you might not be contributing as much to your parents. Like you might even just like sort of be paying for like the weekly shop, but it's still something. And I think it's not the best environment to branch out as an individual in terms of buying your own place or taking on more financial responsibilities, because everything is so uncertain and expensive. And because you're so early in your sort of career, you just don't really understand like how to manage your finances as someone who has been managing their finances for years. And it was quite interesting, like the fact that you mentioned today in Watson's Daily that according to the government, figures around 63% of 18 to 24 year olds have still lived with their parents compared to 2020 when it was 61%. So I think that increase is because of the current market situation and inflation sort of making everything so expensive. And with COVID, like it also meant that a lot of individuals lost their jobs, like depending on which sector they worked in.
Yeah.
And I think this could also be like an interruption to like our progress, because it affects our jobs, our salary levels over the course. But I do think that it is a situation, because I do think most sort of Generation Z individuals want to move out and want to be more responsible of their finances, but they can't afford it at the moment.
No, I agree. Actually, do you know what? I feel like we should do a follow-up podcast inviting your parents on and sort of saying, you know, what do you think of the costs and how much do you charge Alina for living with you? That sort of thing.
I mean, my dad would love to talk about that, because he talks about that to all of my uncles and aunts.
Well, there we go. There's a podcast special with Alina's relatives. So coming up, coming soon. But no, I mean, I think it's interesting this, because one of the things it's quite interesting for me, because contrasting to, you know, when I were a lad and when I, you know, obviously when dinosaurs were roaming the earth and I went to university, at that point, you know, it was a real thing. One of the ideas of going to university was actually to get away from your parents. I mean, my parents were great and everything, but, you know, I wanted to get away.
That's
from
nice. I hope they're not listening in today.
No, they never listen to me. It's fine. So I wanted to get away from them. And I went to Cardiff University. It's not too far away. So obviously, you know, could come back. It's not too difficult. But I enjoyed it. So first year I was in accommodation. Second year I lived with three friends in a student house, which is great. Then I went to Japan and I lived in Japan. And at that point I had to live with a host family, and it was like going back to living with parents, but worse, because they weren't your own parents, which meant that they felt more of a sense of responsibility about you. And so it was like, where are you going to be? Are you coming back for dinner tonight? All this kind of thing, which, you know, I can understand. But still, at that point, it was like a real pain, because having had 2 years essentially of doing what I wanted to do, it was extremely difficult to get used to it. But I do think that what has happened really over the last number of years is the fact that I think university education has become much more expensive than it used to be. And therefore, more people are living at home while they're doing their studies anyway. And so I guess that if you're living with your parents while you're studying at university, actually staying on a bit longer whilst you are looking for a job, or you are just finding your feet at your job, is not much different. So I can see that. But I mean, I was surprised by that. Yes, it was a PwC research report, you know, saying about how, I mean, that's a high percentage, I think, you know, 63% of 18 to 24 year olds. So anyway, I think it is very interesting. It's also interesting from the point of view that pretty much every other demographic is feeling very, put upon with regards to budgets and the amount of money they've got to spend and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think like it's a lot harder for for parents in general, because they obviously do have the responsibility of their children for a lot longer now. Mm. And because obviously as parents, you'd imagine that when your kid turns 20 or 21, they can sort of like find their own feet and they're not your responsibility anymore. Mm. But of course, like now that's not happening. Like 63% is like a lot. That means over half of 18 to 24 year olds are living with their parents.
Yeah.
And I think it's quite, I think as like sort of like the Generation Z, like individual, I do think that it makes life a lot easier for me, because of course, like you also get like help around the house. Like it's not just me looking after like the house. Like I've got my mom, I've got my siblings. And like, of course, like, even in terms of like financial responsibility, it also means that I have a bit more leeway of but I think like it doesn't help with my like spending habits, because you sort of know that, oh, like if you can't like sort of chip in this month, your like father will be fine. Like
it is interesting. I definitely think this the idea of the follow-up podcast with your family it's definitely sounds like a goer.
But what was the most interesting story that you found most interesting?
I thought it was very interesting to hear about Starbucks today. So what is interesting here is there's been hopefully people will have seen in, you know, Watson's dailies in the past and stuff, is that there seems to be an increasing trend for unionization. Particularly, across the board, really, because cost of living is rising, wages aren't increasing at the same pace, people are finding it difficult, and they're also in a very tight labour market. So if you add all of those things together, it makes it for prime conditions for people to get unionised, because that gives them a stronger voice in order to negotiate higher wages and stuff. So this is going on. Starbucks is in America is one of the, you know, sort of main kind of battlegrounds at the moment. The chief exec, Howard Schultz, has come back after I think he was, you know, trying to sort of have a political career and stuff. But he's back as CEO, and he has taken on the unions, essential unionization. It's his mission. I think he sees it as his mission to defeat the unions or unionization. And as a result, the thing that I, you know, the article that I included today talked about a branch of Starbucks in New York, which is in a prime position, that he shut down because it was one of the places that voted to unionize. Now, that does sound rather extreme. I can understand, obviously, why people want to join the union and try and get better conditions. But on the company side, I mean, he's offered, you know, put various incentives in place to make it you know, get better pay and benefits and things if you don't join a union. But yeah, I can understand both sides. It's a very difficult situation, and yeah, I think that this everyone is going to be watching this, because they are going to be worried themselves about, you know, what if it happens at Starbucks, it could happen here. So I think that this is a battle that everyone is watching closely.
I agree. I think, but I do think that it's quite unfair, and it does show like the culture of Starbucks, because if they're just closing down and targeting those sort of places where there is like sort of pro-unionization, I think it really shows. And I wonder how they will score in terms of their ESG rating, because doesn't that come under like sort of social, the fact that they're not even like considering like listening to their employees. I think it is unfair for those that, of course, like that are losing their jobs for like sort of standing up for their rights. But I think like if it makes like in terms of like Starbucks, of course they are in sort of an environment where, like you sort of said, like coffee isn't like a must. Like not everyone's going to be buying coffees when like everyone's sort of entering recession. They wouldn't be thinking about, oh, I need to buy like Starbucks coffee. So yeah, I think, yeah. So I do think that it is, like you mentioned, like it is an employee's market. And so if they are targeting this pro-union stores, then I think it would work for them in this case.
I mean, I think that you know, ultimately this is a so yeah, I do think that this is very much a it is an employee's market. They have the power at the moment, but we're standing on the precipice of a potential recession, and I think that this is very difficult. This is a very difficult time. Ultimately, I think that the employees are winning this battle at the moment, because you know the unionization is spreading. But ultimately, I think that Howard Schultz is going to win the war. I think he is going to be able to win because, you know, once we hit recession, people are going to cut back on luxury things like buying coffees, expensive coffees at that, at Starbucks. Maybe, you know, buying a, I don't know, like an espresso or something like that. And then, you know, like what I've done. So you can go to an espresso, they'll give you a machine for free, but you have to sign up for buying X number of coffees for, I don't know, whatever, 2 years or something. And you do something like that. That is a very easily doable thing. But anyway, I'm really sorry, I have to go. But thank you very much indeed for your insight today. We'll be less frenzied tomorrow. The other thing I just wanted to say is we're doing our Instagram live tonight. If you want to hear about this podcast, you know, behind the scenes stuff, all that kind of stuff, please listen in. It's at 7:30. But anyway, I'm going to have to go. Thank you very much indeed. We'll be back tomorrow, more relaxed. All right. Thank you. Bye.